Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. You know, in verse 5, we find that our God is a glorious deity. In verse 6, we find that our God is a powerful divine creator. In verse 8, we find that he is faithful. In verse 9, that he is concerned about the needs of his people. In verses 17 through 19 and verse 31, he is a forgiving and merciful God. Can I hear an amen there? That he is forgiving and merciful. Because if we had to keep ourselves by our good works in his good mercy, we'd all fail. We find in verses 21 and 30, he is long-suffering when we sin. In verse 27, he is also a chastening God. That means that he is one who will punish. In verses 24, 25, and 35, we find that he is a generous God who gives us far more than we deserve. My wife and I have different feelings about the third person who lives at our house. And she is far more generous with him than I am. Though I am the one that buys his food. I don't think he realizes that. But did you hear the storm this morning come roaring in? Which immediately meant that he went through the gate and got in bed with Donna. Yes. You know what I would have told him to do? Get back. Yes. But our God is generous and more than we deserve. He is a God who keeps his promise even if we are unfaithful. He keeps his promise. But if you would, the last verse of chapter 9, and then we'll go into chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 38. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant. And write it. And our princes, Levites, and priests sealed unto it. Now these that were sealed were Nehemiah. And down to verse 28. And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nithiams, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and his judgments and his statutes. And that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year and the action of every debt. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for men like Nehemiah. We thank you for a remnant, Lord, that is willing to serve you faithfully. And Lord, we ask that this church will be a remnant serving you faithfully during these days of 2020. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. When was the last time you used the word action that you see right there? If you look it up in the dictionary, because I couldn't find it in my thesaurus, it means a fee, reward, or contribution demanded or levied with severity or injustice. So in other words, the land and the debts were to be forgiven. They vowed to not do business on the Sabbath day. Now, we have talked about this in the past, that when Lakeside Mall was opened many years ago, it was not open on Sunday. And then when they started to open, it was opened at 1 o'clock. Of course, things are different today, aren't they? Of course, not too much longer, and Lakeside Mall probably gone. As you know, there are plans to raise most of it and redo parts of it. They further would once again observe the sabbatical year in allowing the land to lie fallow on that year. Now, does that take faith when you are basically a farming community to allow the land not to be harvested, not to be planted on the seventh year? The only thing you could do is whatever volunteered. The vineyards, they were not to go and groom them. Whatever grapes would come along at the end of the year, they could have them. So they would have the sabbatical year observed. And furthermore, they would release all debts on that year as prescribed in the law of Moses. Now, keeping your place here, turn to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25, and we'll read verses 4 through 7. Leviticus chapter 25, beginning at verse 4. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither harvest for the grapes of the vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and for thy servant and for thy maid and for thy hired servant and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee. And for thy cattle and for the beasts that are in thy land shall all the increase thereof be meat. Wouldn't that take an awful lot of faith? Not to plant in the seventh year. If you would, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15. And we'll read verse 2. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. And this, of course, would happen on the sabbatical year. Warren Wiersbe writes, "It's one thing to offer the Lord a passionate prayer of confession, as we read in chapter 9, and quite something else to live an obedient life after we say amen," unquote. And you know that's so true, isn't it? It's one thing here in this room to make a decree to the Lord, this is what I'll do. It's another thing 2 days later to do it. And so we need to be careful on those things that we promised the Lord that we would do. But the people in the assembly were serious about their praying and were determined by God's grace to make a new beginning and live to please the Lord. Now, as believers, we should desire to please the Lord. That should be our desire. But is that easier said than done? Absolutely, it is. Alexander White, and that's White spelled with a Y, said, "The victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings," unquote. In other words, over and over and over again, we tell the Lord, "I'm going to get it right this time. I'm going to get it right." The Lord, according to Jude 24, is able to keep us from stumbling. But if we do stumble, he is able to lift us up and set us going in the right direction. When I was a young boy, probably 9, 10, 11, somewhere along there, my brother Bob and I were given an electric football game. Do any of you guys have one of those electric football games? And you put the players on this table-like thing, and you would line them all up, the offense on one side, the defense on another thing, and you would turn it on. And the players would bounce all over the place, and the idea was to get your guy to run down the field and score a touchdown. If you were fortunate, he would not go backwards. Yes. And the problem was, is the game after about 6 minutes was so boring that you just quit. Well, at least I did. I don't know about you guys. But the idea is we need to be going in the right direction. The Apostle Paul said that he had fought a good fight, he had kept the faith, and he had what? Finished the course. Finished the course. What's that mean? He got through the course. And you can only do that if you're going in the right direction. We have all read in Proverbs 24, verse 16, that a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. New beginnings. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Our Lord desires closeness. He wants to be our friend. He desires us to live fruitful lives. And that means when we stumble, we get up. All of us have stumbled at one time or another. Tammy, I presume that's what happened to your mother. She stumbled the other day. And like any sensible person, she put her hand out and it broke. Now, I'm using your mother as an example. It would be foolish for her to say, well, I'm never going to walk again. Because I don't want to break my wrist. Well, we do hurt ourselves when we fall spiritually. Does that mean we remain on the ground and just say it's done? No, you get up and you go on. And in our spiritual walk, when we stumble, we need to get up and move again. The nation had sinned, but a remnant of faithful men and women were taking new steps of dedication and obedience. But was their dedication real? Let's look at some thoughts, the evidence given in this chapter 10, that these people really meant what they openly declared. These same three evidences will be seen in our lives if our promises to the Lord are sincere. Now, we will only get to the first one tonight, which is submission to the Word of God. Would you say that one of the most important steps in a Christian life is to be in submission to the Word of God? That is where the problem is with the religions that call themselves Christian today, is that in so many churches today, they don't get any word. They are not getting fed the Word of God. People are not encouraged to read the Word of God. And so they are not in submission. They need to be, number two, separate as the people of God. And we'll talk about that next week. Their faithful support, number three, for the house of God. It is not the government's responsibility to take care of the Covenant Baptist Church. It's the responsibility of its members to financially take care. But point number one, submission to the Word of God. Verse 29, let's go back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 10 and verse 29. It says, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to what? To walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and his judgments and his statutes. The Word of God is right and proper, and we need to follow it. With Nehemiah's name heading the list, 84 persons put their seal on the covenant that they made with the Lord. And we see that list, verses 1 through verse 27. This list, which I should have had Brother Paul Wutke read, but I will not, included priests, Levites, and the leaders of the people. I understand that we now know who the two major candidates are for president. They have been chosen by their delegations and delegates, and we know who they are. Wouldn't it be nice if both of those men would declare that they are going to be faithful to the Word of God? Can you imagine what would happen if they said that? There would be lawsuits, and there would be a hue and cry of separation of church and state. Many other citizens subscribed to the covenant who did not sign their names individually, including wives and children who did not have the legal right to put a personal seal on an official document. Those that signed and those who did not had heard the word of God read and explained and were now committing themselves to obey what they had heard. They were committing themselves. Commitment is an interesting thing, isn't it? Pastor Stephen's dad's church has either, was it a Wednesday night or Sunday night, they tell where they gave out church tracts. Wouldn't that be interesting if we started doing that? Committing ourselves to give out church tracts. Now, Pastor Stephen has talked to me about it, and I'm thinking about it. See, to be committed to do this. See, it's easy to pick a track up out of the track rack and stick it in your pocket. My favorite one is How to Get to Heaven from Michigan. And I like this. It has a picture of the Mackinac Bridge on it. And it's the one that I like to give out. To be committed. Because the Word of God asks that we do these things. Putting a seal on this document was a serious matter because it meant making a solemn oath before the Lord. You are in Nehemiah, correct? Turn to chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 13. Nehemiah is talking, and he says in verse 13 of chapter 5, "Also I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise, even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, Amen, and praised the Lord. And the people did according to this promise." The promise. Perhaps they had heard Ezra read this passage from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29. So if you would, Deuteronomy chapter 29, and we'll begin reading at verse 10 through verse 13. To hear the word of God explained, to have it taught, and then to commit yourself to its teachings. This is what a remnant of people were willing to do. Deuteronomy 29, verse 10. It says, "Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath sworn unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. God has sworn that he would be faithful, and we need to be faithful to him. The making of a decree. The law governing vows and oaths is found in Numbers chapter 30. Let me read that to you. Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2. And it says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that he that proceedeth out of his mouth. They were making an oath. Since an oath involved the name and possible judgment of God, it was not to be taken lightly. Have you ever heard somebody say, I swear to God that I won't ever drink again, I won't ever use marijuana again, I won't ever gamble again, I won't ever use pornography again, I swear to God. Have you ever heard anybody say something like that? I'm not going to ask if you've ever said that, but I've heard it many times. A teenager telling their parents, an unfaithful wife or an unfaithful husband telling that to their mate. I've heard that. I swear to God. You better be careful when you make you swear to God about something. That's quite a challenge. Solomon gave a warning against it. And Jesus also warned against using empty oaths. So question, should believers today bind themselves with oaths as they seek to walk with the Lord and serve him? Don't answer. I got the answer right here. So should they? Should they make an oath to bind themselves to the Lord? The answer is probably not. Our relationship to the Lord is that of children to a father. And our father wants our obedience to be based on love. Based on love. Do we love the Lord? What shows us that we love the Lord? Our obedience. Our obedience. Note, there are no examples in the New Testament of believers taking oaths of obedience to the Lord. Our obedience should be a joyful response to all that he has done for us in Christ. We do it because we love the Lord. Listen to what Warren Wiersbe writes. We do not succeed as Christians because we make a promise to God, but because we believe the promises of God and act upon them, unquote. Submission to the Word of God. Submission means obedience, compliance, some servient. If you would, we have three last verses to look at. Hebrews chapter 4, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 4. Familiar portion of Scripture. I would dare say the majority of you that underline verses in your Bible have Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 underlined. And if you do not, and you do mark your Bible, this is a verse that would do you well to mark. Or you that use your cell phone or whatever piece of equipment with your Bible on it, mark it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is powerful, and we are to read it and to love it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll begin reading at verse 14. Well-known verses, again, you probably have them highlighted in your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that why it's important that churches use the Word of God? Isn't that why we as believers are to use the Word of God? Because it is able to make us wise unto salvation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And in conclusion, Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. Deuteronomy 6, beginning at verse 6. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. The Word of God, we are to be submissive to it. And as long as we are willing to be submissive to the Word of God, we are on the right path to being used of the Lord in a mighty way. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the thoughts that we find in Nehemiah chapter 10. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the thoughts that have been given. May they be encouragement to us. Thank you for that remnant of believers. And Lord, we pray that we would be a faithful remnant for your honor and your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.